This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry Temple, America's missionary messenger of truth. So America, please open your King James Bibles to Revelation chapter 16, verse 15, where we left off last time. Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. Just before we begin, I want to do a shout out of appreciation to Minister Charles Young and his wife Yvonne, who go into the local prisons and minister to those dear souls. Keep up the good work, Charles Young and Yvonne. We're praying for you and we love you. Now, Revelation 16, verse 15. Jesus has given us all of these signs of the end. He has given us seven seals, seven trumps, and seven vials. We've studied the seals and we've studied the trumps. Now, last week in chapter 16, we began the vials. This is the judgment of God. This is Jesus pouring out that cup of wrath about which he prayed in the garden. And we got all the way up through the sixth one. Now, the sixth seal, the sixth trump, and the sixth vial, 666, that's the Antichrist. Notice it comes before seven. Seven is Jesus, 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 okay? And so we realize that the sixth vial will be when the Antichrist lands his feet in Jerusalem, standing where he ought not, calling himself God, before Jesus comes. Now, verse 15, where we begin today, Jesus gives us a little caution, so you might put 15 in parentheses. Jesus gives you a little warning so you won't be deceived. Revelation 16, verse 15. The seven seals, the sixth one has sounded, poured.
15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth.
All right. Now, this is Jesus saying, in parentheses, all right, the Antichrist is coming at the sixth seal, the sixth trump, the sixth vial. He's the devil with his Jesus costume on. He's the dragon pretending to be the lamb. But Jesus says, but I, Jesus, I'm coming as a thief. How does a thief come? When you least expect him. You're not looking for a thief, are you? So you see, since the Antichrist is coming, he's going to be kicked out of heaven, Revelation 12 told us, by Michael, beautiful in the sky, coming as God. The whole world will worship him, and half the body of Christ will worship him and think Jesus has already come, so they will not be expecting Jesus to come. Like a thief, you don't expect it. Do you understand?
And keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked.
In other words, those of you who are hearing now, watchmen, watch on the wall, because there are going to be Christians who are deceived. Five are wise and five are foolish. Five have no oil in their lamp. Oil is light. Light is truth, and truth is the word. And when they realize that they have married the devil, the wrong bridegroom, because he comes first, because they believe the lie fly proverb, and because they have not studied every word, they will be ashamed and cry for the rocks to fall upon them.
And they see his shame. 16, and he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon.
I love that he put the Hebrew tongue there because Jesus spoke Hebrew. All right, Ar is a city, and Megiddo means the gathering place of the crowd. Now Jesus is talking about the Antichrist, that number six there. When Satan comes before Jesus, he's coming calling himself Savior. To the world, he will be their idea of what they ever call a Messiah. To the deceived part of the body of Christ, they will think he's Jesus. All right. He's going to land and set his throne up in Jerusalem. His Kenites, the offspring of Cain, will be there, and his fallen angels. And there's a place called Megiddo, the gathering place of the crowd, and they will be gathered there. Now, we're about to have the seventh vial. Now, you need to know that later on in Revelation, we're going to find that as Jesus comes at the seventh seal, the seventh trump, the seventh vial, he's about to come in this story, that Satan and his crowd, the fallen angels and the Kenites in a human body, are going to come and fight against Jesus. Jesus is coming with an army, and of course they're going to be zapped in one moment. The fallen angels are going to perish, turn to ashes from within at the brightness of Jesus coming. Does everybody understand? That is the battle of Armageddon. It happens as Jesus comes and Satan at the gathering place of the crowd, Megiddo, right outside of Jerusalem, come against Jesus. The fallen angels, the spiritual beings, as well as the Kenites, the offspring of Cain. Now that's when that big bloodbath's going to come. It'll be bigger than the one in Paris. This will be just about 185 to 200 miles long, up to a horse's bridle.
17, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air.
All right, here comes Jesus. All of these vials, many of them have already been poured out. We discussed that last time. This will be on the air for those of you who missed it. And so now it's time for Jesus to come. And this is that cup about which Jesus prayed in the garden. The seventh one is to be poured out on the air. Why is that? Because the Bible tells us that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And when Jesus comes, there is Satan pretending to be the Savior, calling himself God, standing where he ought not, 2 Thessalonians 2, the man of sin, the man of perdition. That is going to be poured out on him. And it's poured out as Jesus and his army defeat the fallen angels and the Kenites of Satan's army. And then Jesus is going to lock Satan into the abyss for 1,000 years. For that 1,000 years reigned by the Zadok, who will be teaching, we will be in our spiritual body. So here comes the seventh one.
And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done."
Okay, this is God the Father. Heaven shut up right then for God the Father. But Jesus the Son is coming and bringing his entourage with him. God the Father says, "It's done." In other words, have you heard anybody say, "I'm done with that"? It is finished, as Jesus says, Psalm 22, "It is done." In other words, God the Father says, "It's done. I'm done with that. I've had enough of Satan calling himself God. Pour out your vial, Son. Dissolve the fallen angels. Kill all those with the blood there. And lock Satan in the abyss. It is done."
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
18, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth.
Zechariah chapter 14 describes that when Jesus comes, remember he's coming now at the seventh seal, the seventh trump, the seventh vial. When Jesus, the real Jesus, comes after the Antichrist, Jesus is going to land his feet down there in Jerusalem on Mount Zion. And every stone, that mount is going to split half in two. Zechariah 14 tells us that. And Jesus tells us in the gospel, not one stone shall be left standing. And that means that mosque that is dedicated to the devil.
So mighty an earthquake and so great. 19, and the great city was divided into three parts.
All right. When Jesus comes, the great city, Jerusalem, you know that's God's favorite place in Ezekiel 16. He married it, and that's where heaven's going to be the capital of the universe when everything gets straightened out. It's been divided into the unholy trinity, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. The dragon is the devil, the beast is the Antichrist, who is the devil, and the false prophet is the devil, the unholy trinity. So when Jesus comes, he's not coming back just to take a part of his territory back. That's God's favorite place. He's taking it, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all back to Jesus, back to God. Hallelujah.
And the cities of the nations fell.
Everybody in the world will bow the knee to Jesus. all the people who make fun at Christians now. Bow the knee. Here comes Jesus.
And great Babylon came in remembrance before God.
Now, God remembers Babylon. What is Babylon? Babylon means confusion. Now, God is not the author of confusion. So where there's confusion, that's not God. In any kind of a group you're in, church or social club, when that confusion comes in, the devil has walked in. In other words, confusion brings the lie. You see, Revelation 13 tells us that the whole world is going to worship the devil, thinking he's God and half the body of Christ. You didn't study your Bible. Lord have mercy. And so this is such an abomination. This is Babylon. This is confusion. And it sits on all of the earth. And God remembers this. And he's not happy about this. So he's about to do something about it. When we get to chapter 17, you'll find out.
Given to her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath.
That will be the cup about which Jesus prayed in the garden. There were seven stages of this cup. And that cup of Jesus' wrath will not finish until he pours out that last one.
20, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found.
The mountains means governments or nations. In other words, there are no more going to be any nations or any more governments on the world. Jesus is coming and taking over. He is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. You understand? So all of the dictators, including the President of the United States, will bow the knee and give the leadership to Jesus.
One, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven.
Now, this is a second battle that takes place just as Jesus comes. It's called the Battle of Haman Gog, and I taught that in Ezekiel 38 and 39. These two battles, the Battle of Armageddon, Satan and his crowd coming against Jesus and his army. The Battle of Haman Gog is when Esau comes against Jacob. It's a six-hour teaching, so ask me about it later, but I've taught it many times. And Jesus is winning both of these battles very quickly. Quick battle, Jesus wins. And he's going to fight these with hailstones. I'm sure Pastor Arnold Murray, he's a general, I know he's going to throw one of those hailstones down and zap.
Amen.
Every stone about the weight of a talent.
A talent would be, depending on which manuscripts you're studying, from 75 pounds to maybe 185 pounds. Either one of them will take you out.
And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. For the plague thereof was exceeding great. Chapter 17, verse 1.
Now, we've had the seven in history here in prophecy. We've had these seven seals, seven trumps, seven vials. Now he's going to explain why it's necessary to come back with that cup of wrath. You might like to entitle this Mystery Babylon and the Battle of Armageddon. But you want to think of two women. It's symbology, it's a metaphor, it's an allegory. In Revelation 12, we studied of Mother Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob's name changed to Israel. Israel had 12 sons of 12 patriarchs. And through that lineage came the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. But we always have the negative for the positive. There is Mystery Babylon, so we're going to find out who this is.
And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither.
John says the angel, come here. Come down into the time when it's about the fifth trump. Come down into the time that you and I are here now. I want to show you what's about to happen as the Antichrist is here and as Jesus returns. I want to show you the state of humankind at the end, which for us, that means right now. We're going to find out how it is. Although, if you've got one brain, you can see how it is.
I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore sitteth upon many waters.
Now this same chapter, Revelation 17, verse 15, you want to make a note and get this. The waters are the people. So there's a great whore sitting on all the people of the earth. Now, God uses the word whore, adultery, fornication, since we in the human form can understand how reprehensible that is, to show us how he feels when human beings worship another god, idolatry. So you see, anyone, since the whole world is going to worship the devil and half the body of Christ, that means they married the devil thinking it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. Anyone who's done that, he calls you a whore. Okay, now he's going to tell us about this whore that sits on all the people of the world. Revelation 17, 15, again, the waters of the people, the multitudes, the nations, and the tongues.
Verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication.
The entire earth has worshipped this false one, has believed the lie. Babylon, confusion, lie.
And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication.
Daniel tells us that when the Antichrist comes, the vile one, he's about to come. We're in the fifth trump now, six is coming. That he's going to come in peacefully and prosperously. In other words, if you will call him Savior, and the whole world will, and half the body of Christ, you may have anything you want. You may live luxuriously. You don't even have to keep your Obama phone. You can have a devil phone. You can get free food and free cars and free everything. I mean, you've never had so much fun. Just worship him. And so he's coming in that way, and he's coming in peacefully and prosperously. And the whole world will go after him. And so you see, the whole world commits fornication.
3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness.
All right, John says the angel takes John. He's not his physical body. Now, I hope that some of you are having these out-of-body experiences. It's very natural. It's in God's word. I certainly do. And you know when it is, and it's very wonderful. So he takes him into our time right now. The wilderness means thick, dense covering of lies. Remember Jeremiah and Isaiah said, you call it a church on every corner here at the end time, I call it a house of ill repute. Where is my word? You got your one verse and 3 points, your quarterlies, your books about the book, your traditions of men, which make void the word of God. Where is every word of God? Book, chapter, verse, and line. So he shows John the wilderness, the thickness, the lies that cover the people on the earth.
And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast.
All right. Now, this is a metaphor. Who is the woman? This will be the entire world deceived and half the body of Christ, men and women. You know how Jesus calls us the bride and he's the bridegroom? So she represents the world deceived. There she sits. Now, she sits upon a beast. The beast in Revelation 13, the second one, is the Antichrist. He's the devil calling himself Savior. She sits on him. You're sitting on a chair. You're trusting the chair will hold you up. So she, the deceived world and half the body of Christ, trusts the Antichrist as their God. But what is this that he's clothed in scarlet? Isaiah says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow. There was a book called The Scarlet Letter. There was a young girl, and she was accused of adultery. So the mean old church folks took a hot brand and formed it into an A and seared it into her forehead, so all of her life she had this A, the scarlet letter, that said she'd committed adultery. Yet the whole world trust depends sitting upon the Antichrist, although he is the man of sin. Sin began in the first earth age, Isaiah 14, when Satan said, I will be God, and brought sin into the equation, openly trusting the man of sin. The world's deceived, Babylon, confusion, lies, all over the earth.
Full of names of blasphemy.
Well, he calls himself God. Anybody that calls himself God, that's blasphemy, right?
having 7 heads and 10 horns.
7 heads represents all round planet Earth, the 7 continents of the Earth, and the 10 horns means the fallen angels that are coming back with him. They're coming in the sky, which again means that everybody on the planet Earth is going to call Satan God. They're deceived. They think he is God. And half the Christians will call him Jesus because he says he's God's Savior. Do you understand? The whole world, except Romans 11, 7,000 elect who will not bow the knee. I pray that be you. You're hearing the truth here today. You don't have to be deceived. Small group, the remnant, the Zadok, the elect.
4, and a woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet.
Purple, of course, is majesty, royalty, and of course, kings wear purple and kings wear scarlet. Do you understand? Okay, so why is she dressed like that? Next week, we're going to find that she says, I sit a queen. Well, if you're a queen, that means you're married to a king, right? So she, the men and women of the world and have the body of Christ, will have married Satan, who will call himself King of Kings. So there she is, sitting in all her majesty, purple and scarlet of a king's houses.
And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls.
Now, I want to tell you something, that Satan loves gold. That's one of his colors, yellow gold. And I mean, he decks himself with gold from the top to the bottom. King Tyrus, everything about gold. Now, it's interesting that he's going to offer everybody anything they want. You can have all the gold and pearls you want to worship him. But you see, he's not the gold of Ophrah. He's not the pure gold. A young man told me he loved me and gave me a pretty shiny gold ring once upon a time. And I said, that's a pretty gold ring. And a few days later, I looked down at my hand and my finger was turning green. It wasn't pure gold. That's what Satan is. It's veneer. But his symbol, and that he is dressed in gold from top to bottom. Everything is gold. Fake.
Having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations.
And see, that is why he has tricked all of America to go for the money. Everybody, it's money. Everybody's working so hard to get that car and that home and that job and all those luxuries. Money, money, money. You know what Jesus told us to do? To sell what we have and give it to the poor. Do you know I've done that? When he says poor, we all give to people who don't have anything. But it means those who are poor in God's word. I sell everything I have, every dollar I have. I've given up everything to get the word of God out to people who are poor. Because if you don't have the word, you're poor. Now go and do likewise.
And filthiness of her fornication.
Filthy rags, filthy as a menstrual cloth, to have married the devil. Many Christians going to church all the time saying, I love Jesus. But you didn't love him enough to seek and knock and ask. If you had really wanted to know the truth, the mystery of God, God would have put someone before you. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. Besides, I'm over here all the time saying, come, come, come.
5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots.
All right, it's in her forehead. She's deceived in her mind. Now we know why she's a whore, a harlot, you understand? She deceives. The word mystery means something hidden. Now Paul tells us of the mystery of God. Jesus says, I'll tell you things hidden, kept secret from before the foundation of the earth. In other words, the first earth age, when Satan rebelled and brought sin into the equation. The second earth age in the garden, the fallen angels, the trumps, and so forth. But the devil is a copycat. Now, Babylon, of course, means confusion. Now, what does it mean, the mother of harlots? When a preacher in the pulpit teaches you to fly away to save your soul, when Jesus said, stay in the field, and he's coming right here and not going out, even though he meant well, he births a child, the congregation, so he has children. He's like the mother. And then they are harlots because they will worship the first one coming in the sky, reproducing like bunnies, but reproducing the lie. Do you understand? Okay.
And abominations of the earth. Sixth, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus.
Now, when the Antichrist is here, there are going to be very obviously two witnesses who will be telling us that that is not Antichrist. This is in parentheses. I personally think the two witnesses are already telling you that, parentheses. Just put that on the shelf. In any event, Satan, who's pretending to be sweet, sweet Jesus, is not going to blow his cover at first, because if he killed everybody, you would think he was the devil, wouldn't you? But finally, he's going to lose his cool and kill these two witnesses, Revelation 11. And the Bible says the whole world's going to give gifts to each other, including the deceived part of the body of Christ, because these two people were annoying them, intoxicated with the blood. And what about ISIS lining up Christians on the beach and cutting their heads off because they will not renounce Jesus? And so the devil is intoxicated with blood. And so he goes to Paris and sends his lieutenants and has a bloodbath. And he puts people in cages and drowns them and burns them. But that's not enough. They want the blood of our brother Judah in the land of Israel. And they want the blood of the house of Israel in the United States of America. The only thing smart about the enemy is they know the life's in the blood, except they're drinking the wrong blood. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from sin.
When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration.
Now, you've got to think, what? You admire that, John? No, it's an English mistranslation. The word admiration there means astonishment. John is looking at this. See, this is happening right now. This is, see the whole world, Mr. Babylon is sitting on all over the world deceiving everybody. Most everybody is deceived. Most of the church is deceived. He's astonished. How could people, having a love letter, Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, having churches on every corner, having Jesus, having the Holy Spirit, how could you not read that book and not be deceived? He's astonished.
Seven. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I would tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast.
Now look out. In this book of Revelation, every now and then one of those angels is a child of God minus the flesh, tells John, I'm going to explain this to you. And everybody scratches their head at the explanation. However, I understand it because Holy Spirit told me what it means. I've already told you. Why is that? Because you see, the kingdom is at hand. There is another dimension, and most people can only see or believe what they can see or hear or touch or smell or feel. Very few people on this earth are aware that the kingdom is at hand. Jesus is in here. Holy angels are in here. There's all kinds of things going on. Hallelujah. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, my Lord. Heaven, heaven. And see, some people have their eyes open, spiritually discerning, that we know that. But you try to tell it to somebody that has, I've got to see it before I can believe it. You just say, forget it. Don't throw your pearls before swine. Mm-hmm. And so the angel is going to tell John. John will understand. Mm-hmm. But then the Holy Spirit told me, so I'll tell you.
That carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns.
So I'm going to explain to you what this picture of this woman means, John. But I've already explained it to you because the Holy Spirit told me. Does everybody understand it now?
Yes.
8. The beast that thou sawest was...
All right. Remember, the beast is the second beast in Revelation 13, the Antichrist. Okay, you saw him. She's sitting on him. She's calling him God. The world's saying, you're God. We're sitting on you. We depend on you. All right, he was. All right, 2 Peter 3:6. Everybody memorize it. 2 Peter 3:6. The then was. It's not now, it was then. The world there is in the Greek aeon, which means age. The age that then was. The first earth age. That beast, that antichrist, that serpent, that dragon, that devil, that Tyros, that morning star, that Lucifer, Isaiah 14, was there and said, I will be God. And he committed treason. And he deceived one third of God's children, stars, children of God, minus the flesh. And that's when sin began. He was.
And is not.
Oh, okay. Now, does that mean he's gone? Nope, nope, nope. It means he's not here for you and for me right this minute as Antichrist. He's not here yet, is he? His evil spirit is here. In Luke chapter 4, after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, the devil came to tempt Jesus. And finally, Jesus had enough of it. In other words, be done with it. It is done. He said, get behind me, Satan. Now, we know that Jesus sits on the throne at the right hand of God, the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. So he said, get in behind him. So Satan is now restrained by Michael the archangel in heaven. But Revelation 12 says, soon and very soon, when this fifth trumpet stops sounding, he's going to come in the sky calling himself God. He is not here yet. He was the one who betrayed God and said, I will be God in the first earth age. He's not here yet, but he's coming.
And shall ascend out of the bottomless pit.
Okay, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit is a figure of speech meaning degradation. When Lucifer, that old serpent, that old dragon, that old devil, had the highest position in the world that then was. He was the covering cherub. He had worked him up. God loved him and promoted him the highest position. But when he fell and betrayed, he lost his position. It was the lowest point of degradation. Now, but he was there. He's not yet. But he's going to ascend from that degradation. How will he ascend from that? How will he get up from that degradation? How will he find honor again? Revelation 12, Michael would kick him out and the fallen angels out. And he's so beautiful, he's coming in the sky calling himself God. There you go. He ascended from degradation and everybody's calling him God. That's the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the dragon pretending to be the lamb. The Bible says, Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, Revelation 12, the dragon is the devil. You know who the lamb is. Say it. Jesus. Hallelujah. So the Antichrist is the devil with his Jesus costume on.
And go into perdition.
Now that's your clue. That word perdition is very important. Perdition means to perish. In Ezekiel chapter 28, God sentenced Satan to perdition. Ezekiel 28, verses 17, 18, 19, 20, after Satan rebelled. Perdition means to perish. It means to turn to ashes from within and be no more. And in Revelation chapter 9, the king of the bottomless pit, that's Satan, who is also called in the Hebrew tongue Abaddon, which means destroyer, Greek tongue Apollyon, which means perdition, that is the devil. That means that at the end of the millennium, he is going to walk into the lake of fire, turn to ashes from within. Isn't it interesting how he has trained his children to strap on a suicide bomb and turn to ashes from within? He is the son of perdition. Now we'll stop there. Mystery Babylon, confusion, lies, deception, covering the entire world. Why is she called mystery? Because mystery means hidden. The world does not know they are deceived. Watch them. The church who's going to fly away does not know they are deceived. Watch them. They get mad as a setting hen if you tell them they're going to be here when Antichrist comes. It's hidden. The deception is hidden from the church people, except you elect. It's hidden from the world. They just go on and on and on the precipice of destruction. Mystery Babylon, the lies sitting all over this earth. But you come out of Babel. God's word is truth, as Jesus says in John 17:17. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, thy word is truth. Oh, Father, Open the ears to hear this truth today. Open the eyes to see and hearts to receive. Bring your children out of Babel. Wake up, oh church. Wake up, oh sleeping church. Come out of the lie and be not deceived. Oh Father, touch your children. Let them know the truth that they will not worship your arch enemy, Father, in Jesus' name. We love you for this lesson. We praise you. What a magnificent writer you are. What an author. What a finisher you are. We give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Now, if you're not saved, I want you to pray this prayer with me. I want you to live with me in all eternity, right here, heaven on earth, at the end of the millennium. God the Father is going to bring the heavenly Jerusalem down here. Everything's going to be rejuvenated, paradise restored. But we want you to be there. Will you pray this prayer with me and mean it? Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Wash my sins away with your blood, Lord Jesus.
Wash my sins away with your blood, Lord Jesus.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Use me.
Use me.
To enlarge your territory.
Enlarge your territory.
I love you.
Here am I.
Send me. I will. Let me bear much fruit.
Let me
make you happy. I thank you. I love you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that, in a few moments, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. So please call and leave a message and tell me you were saved. And I promise I will pray for you every day. Now, for those of you who are sick, Jesus bore 39 stripes on his back. And the Bible says, with his stripes, we are healed. He's alive. He still heals. We still have miracles. We have them all the time. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask now that Son of Righteousness, you arise with healing in your wings. I felt that power go. Somebody got it. It shot right through your lungs and broke up the congestion. I felt it then. Hallelujah. Rejoice, rejoice. Oh, Father, stop the pain. Where there's something missing, make a new one. Cause the body parts to work again. Father, perfect circulation, perfect assimilation, perfect elimination, no overaction or inaction. Pain be gone. Kidney and bladders and hearts and brains be healed, ears and legs and bones. Cats are be gone, fibromyalgia be gone, in Jesus' mighty name. Whatever's wrong with you, let Jesus make it right. With his stripes, you are healed. God bless you. And now you might want to call and tell me that you were healed. Leave that message too. You might like to call and tell me and love my program. That would make me so very happy. I want to invite all of you over here to my school every Sunday, 5 p.m., Word and Prayer, and every Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m., Word and Prayer. Now, remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. First of all, you're not born here for fun. You got a job to do. You're supposed to get the Word of God out to everybody you can. And Jesus is the living Word, and the Bible is the Word in print. So roll up your sleeves. Don't let another week go by without making a concerted effort to take this Word to someone. Tell people of Trumpet of Truth. Bring them in here. We teach the Word. So that's one way you can do it. But go and tell. Remember this about precious Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. I love you. God bless you and God keep you. And if God is willing, I'll see you next time. Thank you.
been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
So don't you cry, and don't you die, and don't you burn. Like a thief in the night, you'll replace wrong with right when he returns. Truth is narrow, and the gate is narrow that it passes through. He unleashed his power at an unknown hour. Not alone. How long can I listen to the lies of prejudice? How long can I stay drunk on fear out in the wilderness? Can I cast it all aside, all this loyalty and pride? Will I ever learn that there'll be no peace, that the world will never cease until he returns? Surrender your crown on this blood-stained ground. Take off your mask, 'cause it sees your deeds and it knows your needs even before you ask. How long can you falsify and deny what is real? How long can you hate yourself for the weakness you can see? Of every earthly plant that been known to man, he is unconcerned, 'cause he's got plans of his own to set up his throne when he returns.
Thank you. is your life laid down? If my cup your blood poured down, if in your midst our joy is found, if where I walk
Christians to Worship and the Study of God's Word. This is Today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
I wanna feel